was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on.
Welcome back, my friends. We're talking with Tom Schultz, and before we continue with Tom, let's see if we can get this squarely in our heads. This is not a matter of this particular word, that sentence, that verb, that fragment. This is a matter of the concept. You either are or you are not a sovereign man, a living, breathing Christian man in the land. Now, certainly you might need a little bit of preparation. You might want to look up a couple of those Supreme Court cases that quite specifically state from the late 1700s and middle and early 1800s that a man is a sovereign, he is entitled to the full rights of the king, and that he owes the courts of the United States no allegiance whatsoever. He cannot be ordered to divulge his business. He cannot be ordered to do anything by the court because he asks nothing from the United States other than the common defense. So you might need a little bit of preparation, and maybe we can put a few pointers like that together for you. But as you're seeing, Tom is not accepting being in shackles. He is bringing to the forefront an immediate issue about crimes, and he is not letting them off the hook, and he's certainly not going to let them go ahead with any kind of contempt garbage, as we've discussed. We did a whole program on that, and I suggest you go back, I think it was last November, and find that. And it's really getting down to, who is going to step on my claim? If there's an estoppel, do you understand that there's an estoppel in place? Is the court not in possession of papers indicating that there is an estoppel in place? Is it your intention? You work for the state. He works for the state. You're obviously related employees. Is it your intention to join him in this claim and move out of your immunity into your personal immunity? And Tom, you were talking about that before the break. Their acceptance of responsibility. Would you pick up there, please?
Exactly. If anybody wants to break the law in my presence, I'm going to make them aware that I will hold them accountable for each and every act that they step out of their boundaries with. As the sovereign in that courtroom, I'm acting in the capacity of a civil rights investigator. I am watching what they do. And if they step out of their boundaries, I'm going to let them know that they have about 10 seconds to retract what they just did and go back within their lawful boundaries, or they're going to be facing prosecution, and I'm going to bring it to them.
Do you use the word sovereign in the courtroom?
I do, because it's defined in black law dictionary. The Supreme Court has defined the difference between a person and a sovereign, and I will not be labeled with any of their phony labels, resident or U.S. citizen or a person or whatever else they'd like to categorize me as.
Right, and a sovereign is a concept that a man is a sovereign.
That's exactly the way I will define myself.
Very good. A sovereign, folks, is a well-established concept in law. It's understood not by all judges, certainly not the common variety, a judge who might not even have a law degree, but you can educate them through the process of questions. A sovereign is higher than any United States institution. A sovereign is what it says, sovereign, so it's the correct word to use. And if how many times have you heard me say that we might want to turn to the judge and say, excuse me, are you operating under the assumption that I am an ans legis, artificial, legal United States person falsely and against my will, when in fact I believe you have papers right in front of you that establish my political status as a sovereign man on the land? For and on the record, do you have any objection? Does anyone in this courtroom object to my status as a sovereign man? This way you can seek their agreement, the absence of a protest on the record, that you are, in fact, the authority in that courtroom. All right. Tom, we're going to break. Please stick with us. And I hope this is starting to fall into place for people, that it is about who you are, not who they think you are.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis, A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org. Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen. Special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Welcome back, my friends. We're here talking with Tom Schultz. So, Tom, numerous times during your presence in the courtroom, I'm sure they've attempted to bring statutes in. How do you respond to that?
I tell them to put the book away because are you aware that the sovereign is not subject to statutory law unless specifically named? Can you point to a statute, Your Honor, that has my name on it?
What if they ask you for a citation on that?
I will refer them to the Supreme Court. I will also advise them I'm not here to instruct them in the law. It's my understanding, and I think the court will agree, will you not, that you are responsible to know what the law is and that ignorance of law is no excuse? Is that correct? Or would you like to make a legal determination about that?
Or do you require
to find a legal determination about whether this courtroom is operating under the presumption that I'm a slave or subject to their authority in any way, shape, or form?
I hope everybody...
I'm not here to have controversy with this court, but I am here to make sure that you follow the law to the letter and you do not breach your authority. I'm sorry, Sam. I may have interrupted you.
No, that's fine, Tom. This is obviously a little more difficult than a one-on-one conversation. We're going through two sets of electronics. But I hope everybody heard that very... I hope everybody heard that very carefully, because they will ask you those questions. Anytime you make an offer, they will ask you to give a citation and authority, and Tom turned it right around on them, and that's what we seek to do. We seek to ask them questions. Are you not required? Are we not here operating under the assumption that you understand the law? Judge, are you an attorney at law? Is the prosecutor an attorney at law? Why are you asking me to do your job for you? It's not my job to teach you the law. It is my job to ask you if you have a contract by which I consented to a legal liability on those corporate regulations that is spouting out of that guy's mouth over there. And if not, and if you take a position in agreement with him, then apparently you wish to become a co-claimant in my claim here today, and the fee for that is $50 million. And look in my eyes and see if you don't think I'm capable of enforcing it. How long do you think that courtroom is going to stand under that kind of a barrage, understanding that they are, in fact, dealing with a sovereign man, and a sovereign man, in Tom's case, who's clever enough to use their own constitution against them? So, Tom, I think that's very important information. You're not there to instruct them in the law, are you?
Absolutely not. I'm here to make sure that lawful authority is obeyed and followed. We've given you this authority, granted it to you, to be followed quite judiciously, and I want to make sure that you do that. And no one in this court is in disagreement with that, are they? Good. Born on the record. Everyone in the court has agreed that we want to keep lawful authority in its proper perspective and bounds. Good. Let's continue. On the matter of felonies, where are we going to go with this, Judge? Are you going to refer this to the state's attorney for prosecution? Is that matter settled? Is my business here concluded? Are there any other issues here? Fine. You are in receipt of the documents naming each of these parties with 1099 forms. Is there anyone that has objections to those 1099s? Good. Foreign on the record, the 1099s will be forwarded to the IRS for the resolving of these matters. Thank you very much. My business here is done.
All right. Now, Tom, how often when you're questioning them do they fall silent? Because even putting myself in the judge's position, and it's not like my mind doesn't work in that courtroom most minutes of every day, I'm perplexed at how I would answer some of those questions if I was the judge. You've really put them in a double bind. How often do they fall silent under your barrage?
Usually about every 35 seconds. And usually what I see is that they will try and demonstrate some intimidation characteristics, either statutory authority or a contempt charge or some other kind of issues like that. And I will ask the judge, for the record, excuse me, are you very excitable? Is there a problem that you're having? Are you having a physical problem or a mental problem? Is there some reason why you're attacking me? Because I'm aware of the fact that they often set people up on transcripts and ask them why they seem to be so upset. And I'm going to ask the judge the same thing, because the transcript will not demonstrate his shouting or his barrage or whatever.
Right. Well,
and
you can put that on the record easily enough by, as you've indicated, by just saying, excuse me, Judge, you're red in the face, you're foaming at the mouth, you're screaming at the top of your lungs, I'm standing here with my knees shaking. Is there some problem that you're having? Do you think you'd like to call a recess and compose yourself? Because obviously you've abandoned your position and there's no opportunity for any real justice in this courtroom.
Right, absolutely. And I'm concerned about your welfare. Are you okay? Because my obligation here amongst men to resolve a problem, for a problem to be resolved, it must be addressed. What I'm bringing to this courtroom is a problem that needs to be addressed. Are you here to accomplish that? Isn't that what we've given you lawful authority to do? Now let's address the matters at hand. Does anyone have a problem with that? Good. Let's get to it.
And so they can't wait to get you out of there fast enough, basically, at this point.
Well, sometimes I like to bring it kind of comic, you know. Foreign on the record, what are you trying to sell me? Because I don't think we're buying that. Is this court operating under the presumption that the American people are so ignorant and so stupid by the fact that we are so kind-hearted and so patient to uncover all the evidence of the conspiratorial fraud of these businesses that you're calling courts, that we will not hold you accountable eventually? I mean, the day has come. Do you think that you're going to go on with these criminal activities forever and a day without being accountable? Is there some delusion that you're suffering here that makes you believe that you're not going to be accountable to the law? Because if there is, we have an office down the hallway here, and I think it's called psychiatric counseling. Perhaps we can get a psychiatrist down here to examine you for competency. Is that what you'd like to have happen? Because I think we can arrange it.
Regarding the 1099 issue, you've done something very interesting. You've put it right out there for them to protest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if you had a prosecutor who came forth with some statutory objection, said, we believe that's a fraudulent document. We believe the taxpayer does not have a legal right to be filing a 1099, and in fact, that is a felony. How would you respond to that?
Well, I have no idea who you're identifying, number one, as a taxpayer. Would you please identify who that party is?
Oh,
number
man,
two,
stop there. Stop there. Yeah, that already solved the problem.
Yeah. You see, one of the things that happens in courtrooms is they want to act on these presumptions all the time and identify you as a defendant or a party or a taxpayer or somebody subject to their statutes or someone driving a motor vehicle. Excuse me, why don't you explain exactly what it is you're talking about? Because you speak in a foreign language called legalese, which I'm not familiar with, I will do my best to interpret that into the languages that I do speak. But if I need clarification, you will have to clarify what you mean by a taxpayer. Because in this country, I am the sovereign. I do not pay taxes. I receive taxes. I am the one who grants you authority. You are foreign in my country. You are the one who pays taxes to me. If you're not familiar with that, perhaps you should go to Scripture and see what Jesus told Peter when he volunteered to pay taxes. Maybe you'll get that cleared up for yourself. Or, since you are a public official, maybe you can address that issue to the Secretary of Treasury or the Commissioner of the IRS, or maybe it's perhaps members of Congress. But anyhow, that's what you can handle on your own. You don't need me here to help you with that, do you? Good. Now, on the issue of taxable gain, since I have accepted the offer of this court to create another $150,000 in funds for the public for your temporary use, who is going to be charged with the taxable gain for that $150,000? Because as a lawful man in this country, I want to make sure that those funds that have been established for public use are either put to good use or returned to the sovereign, where we will designate where and how they should be spent. You don't have any objection to that, do you? No. Do you have any objection to what I just stated? No. Do you need any clarification from people from the IRS or Treasury? If you do, I suggest that you hold a recess and get that clarification as soon as possible. Is that agreeable to you? Good. Now, on for the record, let's return to the issue of felonies. What are you going to do about these felons? Do you understand that failure to prosecute in your position as a judicial officer is a crime? Do you understand that bringing in a fictitious plaintiff is an act of bigotry and that's a crime in the common law? What factors here don't you understand? Or what factors are you going to plead ignorance to? Or what factors are you going to throw yourself on the mercy of my court for? Because if you need mercy, you better ask for it. Because otherwise, I'm going to hold you to the full extent of the law. You don't have a problem with that, do you? Good. Then let's proceed. Because very shortly, we're going to get this thing concluded. And that is, I'm the boss in this courtroom. We're going to act upon my contract. And you, as my public officials, are going to do it. If not, you're going to be held liable for the committing. I'm sorry, Sam. Am I coming through okay?
No, Tom. Sam, you're coming through more than okay. You're coming through with the wisdom and the dialogue that is necessary for people to hear. Tom,
well,
our time is a bit limited, so what I want to do is I want to take what you just said. People are groaning right now. Oh, you can't stop. But we're going to have to stop. However, Tom, first of all, I want to invite you back on the program. Stick with me through this break that apparently is coming up. I thought I heard music in the background. We'll be going to a break. Stick with me. We'll come back. We're going to wrap up, and I really want to put what you've said into perspective here and then make another appointment to bring you back on the program.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back, friends. Well, welcome back, my friends. We're going to be bringing Keith on in just a moment. Now, folks, do you see, by listening to Tom, who you are? Do you see how calmly it is done when you understand that even though I'm nervous, 30 seconds into this, I'm going to make it clear that I am here as a sovereign man. I have my political status document properly noticed around this political entity that they call the United States. I have their agreement with my status. Probably some of you have done that 5 or 6 different times. Do you see what being a sovereign is all about? It's about attitude. It's about knowing what you will and won't accept and that no one has authority over you. Don't you already understand the implications of your estoppel? How many of you have spoken to me spontaneously about an estoppel? And that they can't step on the estoppel, but they do. They do because you let them. How many times have I said that on the air? Don't you already understand the implication every time they give you an order, as if you're the defendant, for you to report for a psych evaluation, for you to hire an attorney, and you've, instead of responding to them, excuse me, judge, are you assuming that I am some sort of legal fiction by which over which you have authority, or are you assuming that we've contracted by which I have committed to a liability at your hands, or are you enticing me into slavery by ordering me to present myself as a legal fiction, or are you ordering me to take a political status that is in contravention of the Secretary of State and the great seal of the governor or the president on this political status document that the court's in possession with, and on and on and on. If you would only ask them the tough, questions and do a little bit of studying in advance, study a couple of Supreme Court decisions. And by the way, someone called in at the break and said he has a couple of those citations. I invite everyone out there, pull your knowledge through me, and I will distribute it by the email list to everyone. Send us the brief citation and the brief quote. The sovereign is such and such. The sovereign man is all the power of the king is inherent in the sovereign, or whatever those particular court decisions say. And I will print them up and send them out by email to our army of free men and women around the world. How many times have I said that you should ask him, Judge, I don't see the defendant here today. Do you mind pointing him out? Or as Tom said to the prosecutor, well, we have an issue here about the taxpayer. Is he in the courtroom? I don't see him here. Would you point him out to me? Point it out to me. Tom is bringing it home, and he's only barely scratched the surface. Tom, I know you have this BIC beginner's workshop beginning next, is it this coming week?
A week from Monday, Sam.
So 28th. It would be the 28th in Las Vegas. You could have a week of listening to Tom doing this. And I didn't invite him on the program to plug that meeting. But do you see why we need more of you trained in this mindset to understand who you truly are? You need to get yourselves to Las Vegas. What's that email address? info@bicstudyclub.org?
Correct, Sam. Yes.
info@bicstudyclub.org. And, Tom, please feel free to say no. Next Sunday night would probably be an inconvenient time to have you on the program in preparation for that seminar, would it not? You'll probably be registering and the like?
No, Sam, I'm not worried about it. Most of the girls in the BIC Study Club, I have handled everything so well that I don't want to interfere with them. So I'd be glad to join you on Sunday night.
All right. Next Sunday night, we're going to have Tom here for 2 hours, and we're going to put this down in transcripts. And my friends out there across the land, including those who say I'm an IRS provocateur, will you please send those into the prisons and United States gulags around this great land, and let's educate the prisoners and everyone who is suffering under the weight of their own ignorance, albeit at the hands of a very menacing enemy, a corporation that's out of control, which has slaves operating on its behalf that know not what they do. Tom, thank you for being here. Any parting information before we ask Keith to join us?
No, I'd just like to say thank you to Keith for appearing, and thank him for coming to the conference that you invited him to. I'd also like to say I'm in full support of Keith and David Clarence and everybody else in the world who's running around doing all the great things they're doing for all the people in the country, and I just hope everybody will tune in and support them, and we can all get to the same wavelength and demonstrate to this country what we have to do to bring it back into a position where we're going to live with it and feel good about what we do in the world.
Well, thank you, Tom. That's spoken, obviously, from the same foundation of Scripture and divinity that we've come to expect from you. Folks, perhaps this is most noteworthy for the absence of ego here. It really isn't about who's bringing it forth. It isn't about if you heard it from me, from Tom, from Keith, from David Clarence, from whomever. The idea is we want everyone to grow their skills and understanding of who they are and eventually be able to stand on their own two feet. And it's a real thrill for me to be able to have a fellow like Tom and a fellow like Keith on the same program. There was a time probably 10 or 15 years ago when people consider themselves mortal enemies if they had different feelings and philosophies about freedom. I've been very careful on this program to keep it as an open, welcome forum so that people can bring forth their information and knowledge, and we can promote the willingness to share those understandings and also to admit when we're wrong or when we've made a mistake or when we can do better than what we're doing. Tom is demonstrating to you that within the context of commerce, you can walk out of any courtroom you so desire if you simply understand who you are. And we'll discuss that when we come back with Keith also, because, folks, they may have hijacked their form of commercial commerce, but they haven't hijacked the commerce of a sovereign man. Sovereign men can still contract to their heart's content, and if we want to appoint acorns as money, we can. Tom, thanks. We'll be back with Keith after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you ever forget why you walked into a room or where you put the car keys? Do you feel like you might be slowing down mentally? That could be a sign that the brain is aging. Our brains control nearly every function of our body, including our ability to learn, remember, and concentrate. Sadly, as we age, our brain cells begin to die off. We may lose 30 to 50,000 a day. In youth, brain cells are protected by special proteins, but these proteins become depleted as we age. University scientists in Wisconsin found a unique calcium-binding protein in jellyfish that can protect brain cells. Prevagen is the only all-natural replacement source for these proteins. Studies show that Prevagen can reduce brain cell loss by up to an astounding 50%. Side effects? The only kind reported are the ones you want, like a healthier brain, a sharper mind, and clearer thinking. Find out more by visiting our website at Prevagen.com. You can also purchase Prevagen by calling 888-814-0814. That's Prevagen.com or 888-814-0814. Call today for a special offer from Prevagen.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back, my friend. So we're going to bring Keith on in just a moment. Based upon what Tom said, those of you who are law merchants and skilled at it, those of you who have devoted years of study to prior statutory law, how long would it take you to prepare now for a foreclosure hearing, including all of the default claims and the felony crime concessions in the preparation that you would undertake for that hearing? You would have the powers of arrest in your pocket, arrest of bonds, peace bonds, instant affidavits, the liens, previous liens, confessions, defaults, and mostly the judgment in estoppel. Do you think you might have a different outcome now if you went into one of those hearings and the judge decided to join himself to the pleading party? Well, with that food for thought now, let's shift gears. We're going to bring forth a fellow that I have a very high degree of respect for. This is a mover and a shaker. He is a man who's been not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. And he's been walking the walk since officially in public status since the mid-1990s when he took his property back to him and turned it into a freeholding and returned to the land, to the county, to the District of Tens, and from that point on, mostly the de facto corporation county and its officials left him alone. Not that there haven't been some battles along the way. I think enough of him that I beg him to grace us with his presence in Albany, New York. I'm aware of the fine work that he does and the good works that he will do in the future. And I urge everybody, when they get done, if they're attending the Law Merchant, the BIC Beginners Conference that the BIC Study Club is sponsoring out in Las Vegas, which ends on August 1st, hop on a plane, fly to Albany, and get here for August 2nd and 3rd. You do not want to miss this conference. This is going to be a momentous occasion, and I'd like to welcome Keith Edward Livingway to the program. Keith, thank you for joining me and being so patient.
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Hey, now that you're here, I'm doing wonderfully. It's great to have you. And I don't know if you saw the email from me earlier, but I consider this to be a very important program. And it's a pleasure to have you here. I almost don't know where to begin with you now. But you know something, Keith? I think in your case, why don't I leave that up to you? I don't often do that. Let me throw it open. Is there something you would like to focus on in anticipation of this conference? You are not here to hawk this conference. You are here as a purposeful man, and I'd really like your words to have meaning tonight. You can teach people an awful lot about what they need to do or what they need to be thinking to be able to conduct themselves in a manner that they do not get stepped on as if they were a legal fiction artificial person.
Okay, I'm glad you started there, because in the U.S. government style manual, which is what the United States government operates under, it's, I know this is a little older, this is a little older information, but it does connect to what we're doing now. It's under Capitis Diminutio. Not very good at Latin. Anyways, what they have in there is that name in the all caps is considered Capitis Maxima, and you want to operate in minima. And even in the manual, it basically states freedom to bondage, which is maxima, and then bondage to freedom, which is minima. The only way to do this is to have a trust deed on your all-cap name. See, the United Nations and various other countries have trust deeds on your all-cap account. They're under basic trust agreements. Some of them will call them toll trusts, other one call them deed trust deeds. Also, in the mortgages, there's a trust deed on the mortgage itself and the CUSIP number that it that they trade on the international market with. Excuse me?
Is the CUSIP number a sign of a trust deed or a lien against that title?
It's assigned to the mortgage note.
Yes, and what does that represent, that CUSIP number, Keith?
That number is the trading number. It's be able to, so they can keep track of the securities all over the world. The company started in 1972. I can't remember the name of the company, but they keep track of all of the mortgage notes that they trade across the world and on the international side.
Yes. What I'm getting at here is the number that issues the CUSIP. The company that issues the CUSIP number, are they underwritten by another company that I think you believe is dear to your heart?
Oh, that would be FDIC.
All right. Very good. Would you say a word about that? Not that I want to take you off point. You've made a good point. Point number one, folks, which beginners may not be aware of, the all-capitalized usage misnomer of your name is a diminution, if that's a correct pronunciation.
Yeah.
If not, who's ever doing a transcript, correct it, please, so I don't look like a moron. And it's a diminishing of the status of the entity that they're misnomering. So you're no longer a sovereign man, now you are something less. And now you're indicating that the only way to control that lesser entity is by the imposition of a trust upon it.
Yes, it has to have a trust deed registered with either the Great Registry or the Federal Registry, which would be on the Republic side, because you know that they have both sides.
Tell the folks what the Great Registry is first, please.
Okay, the Great Registry was public notice to everyone. As long as it was registered there, it was considered nil de sight.
What happened to it?
They completely diminished it because it was the original district court that held it, which would be reflected in Title 28, 1330.
And now it's being resurrected, is it not?
Absolutely.
And who's resurrecting it?
Oh, I would say the Most High was, but I got a little bit involved in it.
don't be bashful here. Folks, this is one of the most important developments that has come along in a long time. We have access to providing on the land now bona fide notice to the world, to the real world, not the fiction world, through a registry of land records, born records. What other records might be in there, Keith?
Yeah, right now it's just scripture records. We're working, once we get this extra trust deed done, we'll also attach those into those files. And,
now, if you don't know what the extra trust deed is, folks, then you need to attend this seminar because you're getting a taste of stuff that's coming. And by the way, Tom Schultz is going to be at that seminar as well. He is coming with a beginner's mind like me and wants to hear everything you have to say.
I look forward to meeting anybody involved because this is basically a collective effort. Everybody really needs to get involved with this and start coming together because on the group that we have now, there are a lot of very intelligent people there, and they have excellent research, and we're all helping each other. Because if it ends up on one man's shoulders, then we're just defeating the purpose of it. So
yeah, like he said in Braveheart, we brought together the finest people. You have brought together the finest people. My compliments to you. I can tell you from our retreats the power of networking. In fact, some of the people that you're referring to met at our seminars, and those are the kinds of networking, lifelong network and friendships and mastermind alliances that money cannot buy and that you cannot get off of a CD at home. And if you would, you'll be meeting those networks at Tom's, well, it's not really Tom's, but the BIC, what do they call it, the Beginner's Workshop in Las Vegas, and you'll be making those networks and meeting these people in Albany. And I commend you, Keith. This is a vast undertaking, bringing people together in a mutuality and a commonality of purpose. It's a wonderful thing.
Right, exactly. And I fully agree. The cool part about this is that we finally found the original jurisdictional seal. I would say just kind of fell in our lap, which actually connects all five law forms within one seal that this country is operating under.
Would you feel comfortable discussing what's on it, or do you think that's something that probably shouldn't be generally released?
You're going to have to see it.
Okay.
because I have to explain it, because a lot of people have a hard time with is that each word that you have in a document will connect to a different law form. I'll go into that at the assembly. And
what you're saying is that people are killing themselves by mixing law forms.
You got it.
Yeah.
And when they understand their own law form, then they're able to stay away from different terms or use it in sentences that they wouldn't normally use it in that fashion.
How is it that you can mix five law forms on a single seal and not be turning white paint off-white and darkened by the addition of the other colors?
Because it's not mixing. The way it's termed, you have one jurisdiction that connects to another jurisdiction. See, every government in this world works under trust agreements, and they have specific obligations within that trust agreement. Well, what we did was when you find the original, it connects all the law forms automatically connect to that original jurisdiction.
And who is the grantor of the trust that under which the United States and other similar fictions operate?
The grantor of that trust agreement and or creator would be the Most High. Then you would have Yeshua, who was the original trustee because he fulfilled all of the trust agreements. And when he did that, through him, it was connected, all the trust agreements were connected with the original law form, which would be considered Torah.
And you're going to be going into this in detail.
Absolutely.
At the meeting. All right, because my guess would have been, well, the people who created the United States are the grantors, but we are operating in trust under the original jurisdiction. You have a take on it, you've obviously thought this out, in which you're going right back to the original jurisdiction, the Most High, and then recognizing that the Messiah is the trustee, and that's how you arrived, I presume, at the terminology that we are stewards for the trustee or stewards for the county.
Yes, and it's interconnected with the United States law. It's interconnected with the United Nations. It's interconnected with all the laws, all law forms on Earth.
Can you explain to me, can you explain to the people what is the county? Small c, not corporate. What is the county, Keith?
Okay, the county would be the, if you look up in a lot of the law dictionaries, you can look up body of the county. Government, even with communist governments, understand that the government is inherent in the people. Always has been and always will, even though they're led. They all have equal judicial authority. So the county is basically also with can be also termed posse comitatus, which means that's the authority of the people themselves. Remember back in the day when the sheriff would form a posse?
Absolutely. Actually, wasn't that just last week, Keith?
Yeah. But
you're probably referring back to the 1800s when, in fact, the sheriff could come forth, form a posse, and if an able-bodied man refused to join, he could be placed under arrest.
Absolutely. And also what would happen is he also needed the authority of posse comitatus to jump counties. If the
yeah.
perpetrator he was after jumped another county, he needed the people's authority to do that. So because his... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Keith.
Okay.
We're getting short on time, but go right ahead.
Okay. And the judicial districts of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands is how the states are set up now, and also how the federal government, not the United States government, is set up. And the United States government has been mimicking that form of law form. And I can show you beyond a shadow of a doubt how it's all done.
Tell the people where in Scripture they will find rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens.
That would be Exodus 18, the whole chapter. It's only about two pages long.
Is that where they will find counties as well? Or how do you attribute county to Scripture?
Okay, the counties are set up the exact same way. You have the what they call lower courts. And bear in mind, you won't have the United States acknowledging that the counties are the original authority. They'll hee-haw around it. Their actions will tell you differently than words. So they'll deny, but their actions are doing something different. So
now you notice the way it earlier in the program, Tom used their constitution against them. Very clever, and I've said that many times before over the last few years, that I don't give a hoot about their statutes, but I sure as heck will use it against them because we don't have to obey them. They do, at least in their fiction capacity. Now, are you using their own information against them regarding the county? You have certain case law that you've come upon which clearly delineates that they understand the difference between the de facto officers, their capital C corporate county officials that have taken the place of the justices, the de jure justices of the peace and other de jure officers. Are you using that information in a defensive posture against them when they come calling at your house?
Yeah, what I'm doing is I'm using a trust deed to stop that. What we're doing is they have, in other words, when the people divorced Torah, in other words, they divorced the law, others came in and took their place with trust deed agreements. And all we're doing is going back and taking our rightful place where we belong.
So you're issuing new trust deeds?
Yeah, we're issuing. They're not necessarily new because this is about 5,500 years old. But all we're doing is we're going back to the original jurisdiction, original trust agreement, original everything. And if they come at you, you'll be automatic receiver with this particular trust agreement. We can go into that.
Okay, are you going back? Well, we have 1 minute till the break, or maybe a little bit, half a minute till the break. Then we'll come back for a couple of minutes, and we won't have much time. But in the time that we have left, Are you giving them notice by way of your land documents, or are there other documents pertaining to the living sovereign that you're using to provide notice to them also?
Right. We're trying to put it all in one. All in one document, so we don't have to sit there with 50 pages.
Okay.
So
how long is that one document?
We don't know yet. It could be about probably 3 pages, I would say.
Well, so this is something in the works.
Yes, this is something in the works with that. And
you have it ready for the conference?
Yes, we'll have it ready for the conference. And also, if you don't mind, if we could go over the evidence file when you get back on the...
All right, well, we're going to break right now, and we will have, when we come back, usually a couple of minutes, so we'll have to talk faster. Let's go to the evidence file. By all means, that's a very important topic. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stick with us for the final segment. Please don't go away.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in 5 countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
You've heard of Life Change Tea and how successful this product works. Well, now, introducing Life Change Fat Burners. Burn fat, clean your blood, and pick up energy. Used in conjunction with Life Change Tea, you can reduce your weight, reduce inches in your waist, and restore energy you haven't had in months. And it's all natural. Order yours today. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are standing by. Why sit and wonder if this product works? Join the thousands of testimonies and make a change in your life. Lose weight and get healthy. There's no other product on the market like this. Try it today. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea. Changing America's health one tea bag at a time.
Folks, we have a mere 3 minutes and a lot to accomplish. First, let me say this. My producer whispered in my ear at the break that tonight's program was like having a switch turned on, and that's exactly how I felt earlier today when I was talking to Tom. I don't, you know, sometimes when we're speaking, we don't hear our own words, and when I'm on the radio, I'm not really speaking at my best anyway. I'm concentrating on staying on schedule and questions and other things that I might want to say in the future, and watching what I might say in a public forum. So this program, this week's program and next week's program, will be a Bible of how to handle being in shackles, how to push the felonies, how to hold your estoppel, and act as the sovereign in that courtroom. And that will give you the skills you need with very little research. Number two, please send me all of those Supreme Court or other links regarding sovereignty. Number three, if you enjoy this program, please go to the RBN page. Just Google RB as in boy N for Republic Broadcasting Network. Hit the contacts link and send them the network an email telling them you enjoyed our program. The numbers tonight were off the charts, the largest we've ever had on a Sunday night, probably the largest listenership the network's ever had on the weekend. And we'd certainly like your positive comments, your feedback through the network. Keith, evidence file, big doings on that. There's no evidence file, apparently, from what you've been discovering in their de facto courts. Is that correct?
That's correct. The lawyers do not have the authority to enter anything into evidence in their own constitutional agreements.
Even in their de facto?
Yes, they have absolutely no ability. Mm-hmm.
So where do you put evidence in?
We found it in the coroner's office.
The coroner?
Medical examiner's office. They have to accept evidence there.
People who aren't aware of the history of the coroner and sheriff, hundreds of years ago, sometimes were the same party, and the coroner has the power, traditionally in English law, to call inquests and investigate suspicious deaths. Is that correct?
That's correct.
How do you get evidence into the coroner's office?
We just send it to them. We put the case number on it, just evidence, and they have to file it because if you have a dead body, you don't have a case file first. So if you had a case file, then somebody was had a crystal ball somewhere. So how can they have a case file without an evidence file?
Yeah, well, hold it. That reminds me of a guy who was caught over the body, and he looked up at the investigator, and what did he say to him? He said, yeah, I got here before you.
So, I can imagine.
So in other words, they will open that file. You haven't received any of those back.
Right, absolutely, and nothing is locked up. So if nothing's locked up, then you can put basically anything you want in there.
How do you notice the court that the evidence file exists?
Oh, when you show up, just tell the bailiff to go over to the medical examiner's office and pick up the evidence file.
Very good. Now,
and
I
wanted to qualify two things. The trust agreement that we're putting together now has been proven and tested for the last 4 years. Through number one, the Toral Trust, which was Elvis Presley's trust, and another trust of another man who's on the county, and he has the trust deed for his truck. So whenever if he ever gets pulled over, he shows that trust deed, and the police officers leave him alone because he had it signed by a judge of probate.
We will be talking about that method on a future program. Maybe we can even hold a program from the meeting. I'm not sure if such a thing will be possible. Keith, before we get off, which is coming right up, how do people register for this course? It's August 2nd and 3rd, a weekend course in Albany, New York. It's coming up in a week or two. How do they register?
If they want to go to onesteward.org, they can O-N-E. STEWARD.org.
Okay, let me cut you off here because the music's in the background. You can also email C as in Charlie, David, Edward, _, Jure, J-U-R-E, at yahoo.com. Keith, thank you so much for being here. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. And folks, we will be back next Sunday night at 9 p.m.